I'm glad you're here this morning, and I am glad that Jesus lifted me. You know, there's so many times in our lives that we get bound by things in this world and bound by sin, you know, and we need to realize that Christ not only saved us, give us salvation through what he did on the cross, but he also give us freedom from things in our life, freedom from things that grip us and bind us. And, you know, I am glad this morning that Jesus lifted me, and he lifted me from that, and he gives me the strength to live a victorious Christian life. Do I fail? Yep, I failed miserably last week. It's like that song was talking about. You know, I got really aggravated at work. You know, it's just like when you're behind and they're putting pressure to you to get caught up and everything goes wrong, you just keep getting further and further behind, and you're thinking there's another Saturday of work, there's another 10 hours that we're going to have to work, and you know, the frustration keeps building and building and building. And I got so irritated, one of the guys from the front office, he run into me, and he could tell I was, I guess, probably that frown I had on my face, I don't know, but he could tell I was frustrated, and he said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I want to scream, but I don't know who to scream at," you know? You know, and I got to thinking about that it doesn't matter. It's all going to be burned up. It does not matter. You know, especially after hearing the Sunday school lesson this morning, you know, and where he's talking about placement of Paul, you know, we need to realize each in our lives, and no matter how frustrated you get, mad at your boss or whatever, God has placed you in the time and the position that you are in today to be a witness to him, to share the love of Christ. Yes, you're going to get frustrated and you're going to get down. There's going to be times in your life that everything's not going to be peaches and cream. But God has placed you where you're at today. Amen? He's placed you here this morning. We've been studying in the book of Acts. Was this number 9, 10? Anybody know? Like 2 weeks ago, we were looking at the growth of a church and the problems. It was growing so rapidly that all of a sudden there was problems come on, and there was starting to be division in the church because of the problems and how they addressed them. And they the apostles, they called 7 men full of the Spirit of God, full of the Holy Spirit, and they appointed them to take care of this problem. That was to distribute food and needs to the widows. And 2 of those people, one of them we looked at last week was Stephen, and we talked about how he stood out in his faith, even at his moment of when it come time to draw his last breath, even how he stood in his faith. And the next one we're going to look at this morning is the scriptural introduce us to him is Philip. He was one of those 7 that was chosen. The title to the message this morning would be actually twofold. It would be 2 conversions, and I added another one to that. The more I got thinking about that, I added to that religion versus born again. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Had a couple of prayer requests, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Reed asked that her family being prayed for, her uncle, unspoken, and Carol showed had some unspoken requests for her family also. any other prayer requests, and we'll go to the Lord. Sheila. Oh, man. Charles's? Does he still live at Valley? Harrison? Hmm. Does anybody know where Charles lives now? Yeah. On the left? Oh, okay. Now, that's where Charles lives, right? Okay. Did not know that. Any others? Knee replacement, maybe? Okay. You talk to that lady right there. She knows all about those knees. Mom? Mom's going to the 8th of Federal to check about her blockage in the lower part of her heart. June asked that we pray for her. She's going this Wednesday, try again for the third time to have her test run. And then next week, she'll also be going to Fayetteville to see the lung doctor. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Anybody else before we go? Unspoken? Okay. Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord, and we just acknowledge your power and your presence in our lives, Lord. Father, we thank you for being our creator and maker, Lord. And Father, we just pray this morning that our will would line up with your will, Lord. As everything we ask for, Lord, that it would be that you would take each of these situations, Lord, and each problem, each circumstance, Lord, and use it to bring glory and honor to your name, Lord. Whatever the need, whatever the circumstance, may your name and your light shine through it, Lord. May people realize that it has to be a God thing that done this, Lord. Father, we are a needy people, Lord, and may we not be selfish in our prayers, Lord, but may we realize most of all who we're praying to, Lord, our Creator and our Savior, Lord. And Father, may we magnify your name in our prayers and in our lives, Lord. And Father, I just pray this morning that for each family, that the unspoken request, Lord, that you would touch that need, Lord, and your spirit would abound in it and through it and around it. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to share your word. But Father, I come here this morning with not knowing nothing but Jesus Christ crucified. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord, and how it speaks to my heart. And Father, forgive me, Lord, the times I've failed you. But I thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace, Lord, when I don't deserve it. Father, I thank you for this church and this body of Christ, Lord. And Father, I lift up the Awana program to you this morning, Lord. The devil has tried so many times to tear it down. But Father, I just pray that this coming year, Lord, that you would your spirit would abound in it, Lord. Father, that we'd fit together as a body of Christ. Father, you make promises in your word that your word will stand, Lord, forever. And I pray that we would stand on them. We thank you and we give you praise this morning. In Christ's holy name, amen. Amen, and you're dismissed. No. You know, as you look at study the scriptures, you know, the more you study them, the more you look at people in them, you know, we get to thinking they're all these special people and they got all these talents and abilities, but when you nail it down in a nutshell, they're just common, ordinary people like us. Amen. You know, this second man that we're going to look at, I already said that he was one of the seven that the apostles chose to help in their need there in the church. We're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 8 this morning. We're going to start with verses, we're going to read 5 through 8. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. It says in verse 5 that he went and he preached. He went to this city of Samaria and he preached. What was the message that he preached? He preached Christ. He preached the gospel. What is the gospel? That Christ died and that he was buried and that he rose again. That is the gospel in a nutshell. And that's what he was preaching. Verse 8 says there was great joy in this city. Why was there joy? Why were there people being saved? He was not a preacher. He was not a pastor. He was just an ordinary man. He was a layman. And if you'll read on in the book of Acts in chapter 21, verse 8, we're not going to go there, but he says that he was an evangelist. He was just an ordinary man. I want you to get that this morning before we go any further. This gentleman was an ordinary man. Philip was an ordinary man. His ministry here in this city, as we look into it, it'll show us two examples of a religious decision. One being a false conversion, which is nothing but religion. And the second one being a true conversion, or being born again. And we're going to look at this next man that comes on the scene, verses 9 through 11. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. I want to point out something that really jumped out at me when I read this and was studying it. It starts out in verses 5 through 8 talking about Philip, giving the introduction to him and his ministry and the things that were going on there. But then look what happens when we get to verse 9, the word but. But there was a certain man. It gives us a contrast here, the difference between these two men. One had a sincere, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, one that was born again, and then it gives us another one, the word but, and introduces us this man, Simon, who had a counterfeit faith. This city had been under his influence for a great period of time. He was a sorcerer, the King James says. Some of them uses the word magic, but it was not just simply magic tricks. There was occult activity here. There was even all sorts of different things going on. It wasn't just a bunch of tricks and of that he was getting up there and do. And the people were amazed at the things that he did. And because the people were amazed at the things that he did, they believed what he said. This was a time of restlessness, very unsettled times. People were searching for answers. It's just like the times that we are living here right now. We are living in unsettled times. We are living in a time where people are searching for answers. They're wanting something in their lives that will bring them comfort and hope in their lives. So I believe we can really grasp hold of this story this morning about what's taking place here. The same thing was happening back then is happening now. People were looking in the wrong places. Simon here, he started to lose his followers. People were starting to listen to Philip's message, which was the gospel. They believed and they were born again, and people were being baptized. Simon here, he even saw the miracles, and he was amazed, the scripture tells us. He saw that this power was great. He knew that it was real. He knew that it was a power that he pretended to have. You know, when you read this, it's just like people today. There are people today, they realize that power, and they even want that power, but they're not really interested in the real understanding of the gospel. They want tricks, they want miracles, they want to be entertained, but they prefer the counterfeit to the real gospel. Amen? See, because the counterfeit is easy to live. You don't have no responsibility. You can go and pretty well do as you please. And that's the same thing that was happening here. Now we get down into verse 12, we're going to read 13, where this man actually makes a profession. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself did what? Believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now, to me, that kind of brings up a puzzle there in verse 13. It says he believed, and then he was baptized. So was Simon actually a believer? Was he truly saved? Was his baptism a true baptism? He was exposed to a strong message, to a strong preaching of the Word of God, to the gospel itself. He was impressed by the miracles, and he wanted the power of the gospel. But, there's that word, B-U-T. Remember, we started out in verse 5 through 8, and then we went to verse 9, and it starts out, verse 9 starts out with the word but. He wanted all this. He seen the power. He knew that it was real, but he did not have a change of heart. He did not have a heart that was repentive. He did not want to accept Jesus. He wanted to use Jesus. He saw Christianity as something that he could use. In other words, his faith was fake. Verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Verse 15. Who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Let's read on verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he did what? He offered them money. Verse 19, saying, give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast brought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Verse 24, then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which have spoken come upon me. Peter says, he tells him that his heart is not right. And he tells him to repent. He tells him that he's poisoned by bitterness, that he's bound by iniquity. You know, and there is so many people that are searching for something that is real, something that is missing in their lives, something that can bring comfort and stability to their lives, but they are poisoned by bitterness. They are bound by their iniquity because they're all wrapped up in religious stuff. They want the power. They're sincere in seeking the truth, but they are bound by it because they have not been born again. It's all been religious stuff. This scripture here that we're looking at this morning, it shows how close a person can come to salvation and not truly be saved. Realize that? What's happened in this scripture? These people, they've heard the gospel. This man had made a profession of faith. He had been baptized, yet he was never really born again. I want to share real briefly just a little story about my son Josh that died. He made a profession of faith. He was baptized. Said he was Christian. Went to church now and then when he wanted to, when he felt guilty about something. Struggled living a life back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Could never really get it together. One night on a Sunday night, there wasn't very many people here. Buddy Ritter was preaching. Give a call to the gospel. Josh came forward. You know, and it still didn't really soak in on me. I thought he was like maybe rededicating his life or just asking for prayer or anything. But when we got home that night, he was so excited. And it still didn't really dawn on me that night. But a few days later, see, I started seeing a change in him. You know, he wasn't just talking it, but he'd begun to live it. And you could see a desire for the Word of God in his heart and in his life. You see, you can be real close and still miss it. You can think you're okay and still miss it. You can be caught up in all this religious stuff and still miss it. Now, this message is not to make you doubt your salvation. This message is to make sure that you got it right. Make sure that you're not caught up in religion. Make sure that you're not caught up in some false conversion. You know, people can tell you that I went forward. Josh had went forward in a service. He had been baptized, and yet he was on his way to hell. He told me that personally. You see, when you got it right, you're born. The scriptures tells us that you're a new creature in Christ. You're not the old man, the old woman, the young boy, the young girl that you used to be. You are a new creature in Christ. And with that new creature, there is going to be fruit. There is going to be evidence of it. Simon here, he offered them money. He said, I'll give you money if I can get that spirit. See, when he did that, he revealed his concept of the Holy Spirit. There's many today in our society that they think of the Holy Spirit as a power that they need to get more of. They're not thinking of buying this power, but they're thinking of ways to get this power. That if we have it, we can use it. If we have it, we can use it to overcome our problems. If we have it, we can use it to live a victorious life. You see, there's a problem with that. The Holy Spirit is not an it. Amen? The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is that third person of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is what helps you with that relationship that you have. That Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that lives within you that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. And if you've got that Spirit, you've got Jesus living in you. And if you've got that Spirit, you've got Jesus living in you, and people are going to see it. Amen? Simon was confronted with his sin. Peter confronted him. He confronted him and tells him to repent. But see what happens here. Simon refused to act personally. He refused to repent. What does he do? He asked Peter to pray for him. He does not have any sense of his sin before God. What he was really concerned about is just escaping God's judgment. He wasn't concerned about the sin. He was just concerned about the coming judgment. He was more concerned about avoiding the consequences of his sin than he was getting right with God. Now we go to the other conversion in verse 26. And look at the difference. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem. I want to point out there that the angel of the Lord spake. The Spirit sent Philip down there. It's just what we were talking about in Sunday school class this morning. The Spirit sent him. There was somebody down there that was needing God, that was needing a relationship with Jesus Christ, that was needing something that was real, and the Spirit of God sent him down there. What does he do? He immediately went. That should encourage us in our personal witness that God will direct us to the right person at the right time if we'll just be obedient immediately. Now we get down here and we look at a man that I think you see a lot in life today. Verse 27 and 20, rose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This man was concerned enough of his spiritual life that he had traveled over 200 miles to go to Jerusalem to worship. And yet he was still not satisfied. There was still something that was missing. That's like many people today. They read their Bible. They sincerely seek the truth, but they do not have a saving faith in Jesus Christ. They're sincere. They're seeking something, but they're lost. Verse 29. Then the Spirit saith unto Philip. See, there's the Spirit talking again. What does he say? He says, go. Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Let me read a little further. Then the place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. What was he reading? The Spirit sent him. Philip opened his mouth. And there's three things that happened here. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God was moving. The Spirit of God tells Philip, you go over and talk to that man. The Spirit of God was moving. You got the Spirit of God. He's reading the Word of God. Notice he's reading it out loud. Thought that was interesting. And it takes a man of God. It takes somebody to give him the message to explain it to him. Verse 36 and 38, we have the decision. And as they went on their way, there came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And verse 37, Philip said, if thou believest, it does not end right there, right? If thou believest, what? With all thine heart thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded that the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He believed, but not only did he believed with all thine heart. You see, that's the difference. You can't just believe it a little bit. You got to believe it with your heart and your soul. And that is the only way that you can be saved. The only way. He had to deliberately and personally believe in Jesus Christ and what Jesus did for him on the cross. So what is the difference between these two men, between this Ethiopian? One was just superficial, and one was genuinely born again. This Simon, he believed Philip's miracles. He believed they were genuine. He believed that the message was true, but he only had head knowledge. He only had the head knowledge of the gospel. See, there's people today that think if they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he rose again, that you're a Christian. There's more than that. It's so easy that a lot of times we miss it. It's committing to Jesus Christ. It's admitting that you have a personal need. It's trusting. It's trusting Christ for forgiveness. It's trusting Christ for that new life that he's going to give you. But it also includes giving yourself over to him. Remember a few weeks back, maybe last week, when we talked about that scripture in Romans? Says the Lord Jesus. When you make him Lord of your life. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul challenges us. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is what? In you. Except you be reprobates. Examine, prove, know your own selves. Do you know that Jesus is in you this morning? If you don't, then you got a problem. If you don't, then you've got a problem that you need to deal with, and you need to deal with it today. Is Christ in you? I'm not judging you. The Scripture is what judges you. It's the gospel message that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You don't have to be judged. Jesus Christ took care of it. He paid it all. Talks about being born again. That's what we've been talking about. John 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It takes the water, which is the Word of God. It takes the Spirit of God of conviction upon your heart. It can't just be religious stuff. Also, the last scripture about talking about being born again, 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by what? The Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Whew. we talked about in Sunday school, about hearing and not understanding. We talked about seeing and not perceiving. We talked about standing. See, you don't understand the gospel right here. You understand it right here. Have you been born again? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, there's no person on this earth that can come to Him, that could come to the Father, except through Him. You got to go through Jesus. And that's how you become born again. When you commit your life totally to Him, make Him Lord of your life. It's just not recognizing that He died for your sins and that makes you a Christian. It's about making Him Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when you do that, your eyes will be open. Your ears will be open to things that you couldn't see and that you couldn't hear before. But the good part is you're the relationship with your Lord and Savior. Knowing where you're going to spend eternity. Knowing that you're going to abide forever with Him in eternity. Susan, would you come, please? I know I'm long-winded and I get carried away. But that's the kind of message right there. You can't stop in the middle of something like that. You know, the Spirit of God has to move in your heart for there to be true conviction. Do you realize that? You say, Brother Dennis, I'm all right. I remember when I was 11 years old, I was at a revival. I went forward. There was an invitation given. My friend went, so I went. That's the only reason you went. You haven't been born again. See, well, Brother Dennis, I was at a service one night, and there was a song that really touched my heart, really spoke to me. Songs are good. I love them. Yes, they can be used. They've touched my heart many times. They spoke to me and they've ministered to me. I'm not saying that. But song does not bring conviction. It's the Word of God that brings conviction on your life. If you went forward in some service because of a song, I'm challenging you by the Word of God, not by my words, but by the Word of God, that you're not born again. Because that conviction comes through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, and that's the only way it's going to happen. I don't care if you've been coming to church for 45 years. I don't care if you've been coming 50. If you've been coming all your life, it's not about church. It's not about religion. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and you realize for the first time that you have not been hearing, your eyes have not been perceiving, and you have finally grasped the gospel message for the first time this morning, then praise God. Step up this morning and come right here and receive what Jesus Christ has for you. Amen.